Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have tons of stories today. So if you're someone who hopes that I would spend more time in Scripture, this ain't your week. Sorry. I'll do it next week, I promise. So you have to come. So this first story comes with a little violence warning, okay? There's some violence in it. I'm sorry about that. Prepare yourselves. So we plant a small garden in our backyard every year. And by we, I mean my husband does it, and I don't go out there ever. but my little four-year-old boy, Julian, does go out there. He loves it, and he loves to pick the vegetables as they ripen. I mean, that is the whole reason Kevin plants this garden, just so Julian can pick the vegetables. And last year, we kept seeing a big deer wander over and eat these green beans. And so Julian was just infuriated. And he decided that we needed to shoot this deer. And I told you, violent. I said, no, you know, we're not going to do that. We don't need to do that. But this little boy was pretty resolute in his belief that this was the only option. So a few days later, the two of us, he and I, are in the backyard playing. And right before our eyes, the deer comes up out of the ravine and is in front of us. And Julian says, "It's after the beans. Shoot it." Like I had my sidearm ready to go, you know. But just a moment later, two little fawns come up out of the ravine behind the bean-thieving mother. And Julian goes quiet. And he's just sort of in awe of this little family. And he turns to me and said, "I don't think that's the deer who eats the beans." He could not abide hurting a family. And so that is what today's Epiphany sermon is all about, family. And I have talked about these last few weeks that Epiphany is a season of the church where we catch glimpses in the readings of people getting epiphed, of people seeing who Jesus is. And that awareness of his divine purpose and power changes their lives and sets them on a course. And so our job during this Epiphany season is to see what those epiphanies are and adjust our course and set our path for the year. And so these last few weeks, we've talked about what the epiphany means to us as individuals, to us as a church. And now this week, I think that the scriptures are talking to our families and what our families have set aside for the year ahead and how we are supposed to do our work as families. And specifically, I see 2 points that this scripture reading is making about family in the coming year. And both are very simple, very simple. The first is a reminder that faith is a function of the family. And the second is even more simple than that. The second truth in our reading today is that we are supposed to bring Jesus home. All right? So let's get to it. Our first point, faith is a function of family. Now, I have been reading the Bible a long time. It is my job. So I am embarrassed to admit that it just dawned on me this week when I read the gospel that at least one of the disciples is married. And I don't know why, but it never occurred to me before. Or if it did, it didn't seem like, oh, now that makes sense. Simon has a mother-in-law. And here I've been thinking that these 12 guys are just single, single men. I've thought that in my head forever. And that is not totally my fault. This is the only reference in all of the Gospels to someone being married, to any of them having a family that they have built themselves, not a family of origin that they're coming from. But realizing it for the first time that Simon was married reminded me of that very simple truth that Jesus calls people with family responsibilities, heads of households, people who are busy rearing children, placating in-laws, navigating relationships, providing for their family. And so when one family member follows Jesus, it has implications for an entire family. What Simon sees Jesus do, where Jesus takes Simon, the stories that Simon hears Jesus talk about, the parables he hears from Jesus, will all trickle down into Simon's family life. It happens almost immediately with his mother-in-law. Simon's faith instantaneously becomes a function of his family. Now, what does that look like for us? So John Macer is a member here at Faith. Now, my husband really likes John because John hosts the men's book club, and at John's house, he has a keg of Guinness on tap in the basement. I like John because he's willing to serve on church council. And a couple of weeks ago at our council meeting, I asked the entire council, which if you're not into church structure, council has about 20 people on it. So I asked everybody at our church council meeting this question: what part of worship communicates the gospel to you most effectively? And then we went around the table and people shared. And some of the people said the readings do, and some of the people said the music does, and a few brilliant people said the sermon. And then when we get to John, he says, the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. And immediately I'm thinking, nerd alert. But then John follows it up with, not because I love the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer so much, but because I cannot say them without hearing my mom and dad's voice saying them too. Do you have that? Where you can hear your parents next to you still? For me, it's my grandpa. I can hear him singing the hymns next to me. Faith is a function of family. And when we participate in our faith alongside our family. It remains with us. It sticks. It is in our hearts and minds. And I know a lot of you are concerned and you worry about your children and your grandchildren who have fallen away from the faith, but I promise you, it is there. And the time you spent sharing it with them is not and will not be wasted. And so we keep making faith a function of our family lives in the coming year. Now, before I go much further, I want to be clear about what I mean when I say family. We all have in our minds, for better or worse, that married couple with the 2.5 kids and the dog. But Jesus is very clear, not but a few verses later, about what he thinks family is. And it is not entirely connected to bloodlines or to a certain stage in life of raising children. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother, Jesus says. Family is made by the people you are surrounded by and the people you pour your life and heart into right now. And I was reminded of that this week. If you're keeping count, that's story number 3. Now, Roger is a longtime member here at Faith. A lot of you know him. And in the last few years, Roger has lost most of his family. He's got just one close family tie left. But Roger has spent decades making family out of his friends here at Faith. In choir, on committees, almost every single committee I can possibly get that guy on, at our preschool, in clubs, and just last Monday he was playing trombone with some of his best pals in our brass band because they are supposed to play this Sunday. But on Wednesday this week, Roger had a health crisis as serious as it gets. And so while I am visiting him at the hospital, he is unconscious and sedated. While I'm doing that, I'm getting dozens of separate texts and emails and phone calls from you all asking how he is. So I start a group text so that I can just update everybody at the same time. And so then the next day on Thursday, I go back to see Roger, and he is still sedated and unconscious. But while I'm there, doctors decide to extubate him and wake him up. And so they do that, and I walk back in, and he's wide awake, and he sees me, and the first thing he says is, "How am I going to play trombone on Sunday?" And here is the best part. I text this group of concerned friends, and I tell them that that's what he said. And before I know it, they start conspiring on how to sneak Roger's trombone into the ICU. Faith is a function of family. And family takes all forms. So whether you build one at this stage in life or you make one at another stage in life, Jesus tells us to pour your faith into them in this coming year, because you just don't know when you're going to need a trombone smuggled into your hospital room. Which brings me to my second point about today's lesson on family. Bring Jesus home. It's simple. Jesus calls Simon to be his disciple. And where is the first place Simon takes Jesus? Home. Home where his mother-in-law is sick and needing healing. And if Simon had not taken Jesus home, who knows what would have happened? Who beside Jesus could take her by the hand and lift her up? Jesus calls people with families, and our job is to take Jesus home to those families. In this next year, we will come here to worship Jesus, but following Jesus is not just about worshiping him here. It is about taking Jesus with you when you leave and taking him home. And here's the thing. Home is where Jesus does some of his best work. Home is where Jesus made a paralytic man walk. Home is where he made Jairus' daughter smile and laugh again. Home is where he healed Zacchaeus' selfish heart. Home is where he mended the relationship between Martha and Mary. Home. When we bring Jesus home with us, Jesus can do things there that could not be done without him. Bring Jesus home in the way you pray, in the stories you read, in the songs you sing. Because the truth is, when we bring Jesus home to our families, whatever those families look like and are made of, those people might just bring Jesus home to us when we need them to. Now, what does that look like? Final story. Well, the first time, that wasn't the first time that I had heard John Macer talk about his parents at that council meeting. A few years ago, I had interviewed John for a sermon series about miracles and things not being coincidence, and he had this really miraculous story about his dad and his last moments before he passed away. And it's a big story, and I shared it in another sermon. And I'll find you the link sometime and you can hear the whole story. But today I just want to talk about those last few moments that John shared about his father's passing. So his dad was lying in bed, and it was clear time was short. So John and his brother stood on either side of the bed, each taking one of their father's hands. And they told him that they loved him and that he had done a good job. And then John said he saw a different look in his father's eyes, one that he had never seen before. So John said, "Dad, if you see a bright light, run for it. Run for it." And he did. And the way I see it, all the years that John's father spent pouring his faith into his family didn't go to waste. It meant that when the time came, John was there to bring Jesus home to his father when he needed it most. So, brothers and sisters, let us get about that work. Let us get about the work of continuing to make faith a function of our families, and let us get about the work of bringing Jesus home in this next year so that no one is left wanting healing and no one is left walking the path alone. Thanks be to God for Jesus. Amen. The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.